It is August 24th, 2009, and you're listening to the TFormers.com podcast. TFormers.com podcast. I'm your very tired and exhausted host, Iron High 1975, but I am here with Ender.
Hello, the Endless Ender.
To delight and dance and prance for you.
Woo!
Or at least attempt to.
And fall over a lot.
Yeah. Don't ask me to dance, seriously. I can't dance, so don't ask me. But I'm bump bump. So yeah, Z Piper is unfortunately out of commission for this particular episode, and he will be back next week, same time, same bat channel.
Where we will make fun of him for not being here.
Oh, of course. Of course. That's so. That being said, let's jump right into the news, because we got a little bit of it here and there. But hey, I guess the movie's going to be coming out on this thing called the DVD at some point in the future. Have you heard of these things?
These newfangled discs.
Yeah, you know, I'm still holding on to my Betamax. I think that's going to be the one that's going to win the VHA, the videotape wars.
When I was a kid, we used to set our film on fire in a projector.
Yes, 33 millimeter.
Actually, the first time I saw Star Wars, I saw it on somebody's like home projector.
Really?
Yeah.
How did they get a copy?
I don't know. I was probably like 6 years after the movie came out at this point, but
that was I was friends with Lionel Lucas.
Little did I know.
Then I know that crappy movie I made fun of.
There was a reel missing. So I did, like, later in life I saw it and was like, oh my gosh, it all makes sense now.
Well, that being said, so a couple quick DVD notes. FYE, to get exclusive Revenge of the Fallen Steel case, and October 20th is pegged for the release date, and the artwork surfaces and hits Germany in November, and it's supposed to come to Blu-ray on October 20th as well. So I guess the only important story is maybe the artwork, but
yeah, the date it comes out is nice to know, but yeah.
So buy it for Halloween.
Yeah. No special, this is the metal special case, but no like transforming cases or anything really cool like that. We just got the,
oh, I'm sure we're going to get one of those along the line. So what extra footage do we think is going to be included?
Ooh, so like 23 scenes that would make the movie make sense.
Would it be
like Lord of the Rings? It's gonna be the 3-hour cut.
Would it be sad if all the stuff that Bay cut out actually made the movie better?
Well, you know, I'd take that at this point, really. I already read the scene of the comics this week where like Sunstreaker took over Osgiliath. So like, if they want to do like the Lord of the Rings like 8-hour cut, that's fine by me.
Well. Sunstreaker and Revenge of the Fallen, or?
No, in the comics. I was just saying, there was a really Lord of the Ringsy scene in one of the comics this week.
Oh, God. Well, we'll save that for comic news. Hold off on that, so. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be great if, like, okay, maybe there's some extra, you know, extra bits that weren't finished, that maybe he's like, well, this isn't finished, so we're not going to include them. And then, you know, we see him, it's like, well, wow, they weren't finished, but they sure were integral to the plot.
Well, I just don't see us get. I mean, like, if we get extra scenes, it's going to be like more bad, like Megan Fox sex jokes, and you know,
more humping.
Like, yeah, it's like, and now 43 more minutes of Skids and Mudflap. You know,
no, and now new
Skids and Mudflap go to town.
And know? Now original, like, that's new original short Skids and Mudflap.
Right, you know.
Oh, God.
Framed wheelie. You know, that's what we'll get.
Oh, you know, would it be? I could see a wheelie skip being cool, but I don't know.
I think wheelie is the shelf warmer of the season.
You know, in terms of the toy?
Yeah, I saw a Walmart that had literally nothing but wheelie on its shelf one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like six panels of like wheelie in a row. Like,
oh, I love the toy. I mean, I love the character. I just wish I got more of him and less of the other doofuses. But anyhow, let's not bring that topic up again. Anyhow, so maybe let's say maybe Michael Bay doesn't do the next movie. And hold on. Note for people on Skype, if I'm recording a show and I'm on, you can't call me. Hold on, I'm going to see if I can bring Weevum in.
And now the trolley comes in and we go to the land of Weevum.
What the hell is going on?
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? I'm sleep deprived. It's an early day. This is beautiful.
We're in like Mr. Ironhide's Lost at Playhouse now.
Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
That's the show. This is what we're going to inflict upon fans across the globe.
You understand?
We haven't had a lot to talk about lately, I guess.
No, it's I've had an absolutely horrific day at work, and I had to come home and cut the grass right across town to get my computer, eat some Chinese food, and now I'm recording a podcast, and I'm about ready to pass out on the computer, but hey, that provides more comedy for our listeners,
should you suffer any misfortune, we will be sure to take advantage of it for comedic purposes.
Well, that's why I have you guys here, obviously.
We'll leap to your aid by making fun of your snoring.
Hey, by the way, Weevum now joins us in the background, if you can hear him there. Say hi.
Here. I am here.
Hey, do you have the script perchance?
I do.
You do. All right, well, we just finished talking about the DVD release and what crappy extra features and bonus material possibly might be in the DVD release, and we figured it's going to be a new short, Skids and Mud Flap in the Hood.
Or, you know, it could be Megan Fox washing Michael Bay's car. we forget.
I would not doubt that.
Should be the only special feature.
Yeah, in fact, just sell that. Forget the movie. Give us the forest scene and that, and we'll be fine.
If that's all you sold, you would have a better selling DVD than the first one.
Well, we were wondering,
it would make more money combined. It would make like it'd be the first film to make like $3 billion on DVD ever.
Well, we were wondering if
the internet would shut down for a week.
Exactly. Exactly. Like it'd be like Google had crashed. It would just not exist. The internet would the cloud would just go away. It would just pop and disappear.
I'm sorry. I would like to search for something, boss, but fortunately, Google just keeps bringing up Megan Fox stuff.
Yeah. The top 10 searches on Google this week are Megan Fox, Megan Fox, Megan Fox on DVD, DVD, Megan Fox.
Megan Fox washing cars, Megan Fox. Anyhow. So
lost Megan Fox footage.
So we were talking about possibly, let's say Michael Bay doesn't do the third movie because maybe it would be nice to get some fresh blood in there.
Which would never be possible, but go ahead, dream on.
They actually might have but by the way, do we want to talk about G.I. Joe at all? Oh, we already talked about that. Never mind.
I skipped that piece of the podcast last week. I've never seen it. I haven't seen it yet, so.
Okay.
Go see it. It was good.
Okay. So, all right. Hey, I'm jumping all over the place. Bases, Dinobots for Transformers 3. I don't like them. Actually, I hate them. And according to comicbookmovie.com, Michael Bay will be quoted in the September issue of Empire magazine as hating the Dinobots. They've never been discussed for the franchise, states Bay. I don't like them. Actually, I hate them. This is a little odd since there are no scripts or any plans for the third movie yet, so it's likely just Bay talking. Actually, I don't think he's going to ever have them in because... Was it the writers that said it's kind of hard to make up a reason why a big giant robot would transform into a Dinobot or dinosaur.
I think that's kind of lazy writing, in my opinion. But I gotta say, I wouldn't want the Dinobots probably in a movie anyway. But I'd say Grimlock is a real integral character to just kind of skip.
No, see, I want all five of them because I hear what you're saying. Grimlock's a good character.
Oh, come on. There's like a Dinobot missing from the 86 movie.
I just forgot him. But that one Swoop was really a good character in that two-part episode where they went to Cybertron. And Slag had the best, you know, the baloney lines. So, I mean, I think if anything, you got to have Swoop and Slag because they are the two stooges that make Grimlock shine.
Nah, I don't. Honestly, I mean, like, especially this is maybe more of a comic book perspective. And though, I mean, Grimlock's big in the TV show, don't get me wrong. But in the comics, I mean, like, Grimlock stands at the right hand of Prime with, like, Prowl and Jazz and Ironhide. Like, Grimlock is there. Grimlock is high in rank. And Grimlock is a real character who's important many storylines. Whereas Swoop is kind of like, on occasion, Grimlock's sidekick in terms of story importance.
Yeah, but don't you have to then worry about the people who don't keep up with the comics, though, who are going to go see
it? You know what? Grimlock had shows of his own in the like later seasons where he did all the talking if the Dinobots were even there, and sometimes they weren't. So I don't know if they really hold the same kind of rank he does.
Well, occasionally they were just in those pits sort of taking a bath and he walked. What was that one episode?
You're like, oh, Dinobots are fishing on Cybertron where there really shouldn't be any fish. But
well, you know that planet is made out of water, so.
Right, well.
see, good, you know, that you're referring to Beast Machines in Beast Wars, right?
I don't know. You lost.
No, that's a good point. I just made that up just to be a jerk. But.
Oh,
no, that's a good point.
I think he was sarcastically emphasizing my point, and we missed it.
I thought you were actually referring to the organic part of Beast Machines and stuff. So go figure.
No, I was being very sarcastic. But
well, that's organic goop that spewed out of Bob Forward's nose.
Although, yeah, no, that's a good point. I actually forgot about Beast Machines for a second there.
I think a lot of people try to forget Beast Machines.
No. I enjoyed Beast Wars Beast Machines as my name.
I'm an advocate of Beast Machines. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I'm a big advocate.
Big fan of Beast Machines.
Yeah, I loved it too, except for the last 5 minutes of it. It was just such a letdown. It was, I mean, it was a great battle sequence until we ran out of money.
So, well, I don't know about that. I felt like that was, we're getting way off topic now. But all right. That was a whole episode of Megatron and Primal fighting.
Yeah. So what do we think? What do we think about Bay for the Dinobots? Nothing new other than Bay.
You know, I think no one's presented him with a good idea for it. I think if someone gave him, honestly, I mean, like, it's all about character, I think, with Grimlock. I would say, like, even, you know, anything would work as long as it's comedic enough for it to work. And it depends on how you want to play Grimlock, but I'm thinking off the top of my head, you have two little pods come down, and you actually, a big comedy team, kind of in the comics almost, was Prowl and Grimlock, because they didn't get along. So you have one be Prowl and the other be Grimlock, and Prowl, of course, scans a police car and comes up and finds Grimlock walking out of a museum and says, I found a vehicle that disperses humans with flashing lights and, you know, he's good cover and his authority figure. What'd you get? And Grimlock transforms into a giant T-Rex and roars in his face and he's just like, I hate you. And instantly, you don't have to explain any of that crap to the audience anymore. You've given them,
you know,
what Grimlock would do.
Yeah.
He saw a skeleton or a thing, and he was like, I'll be one of those. And it doesn't make sense, because Grimlock doesn't have to make sense.
You know, that actually, I was thinking of something along
the lines. That's a writing, you know, that's like, I made a reason for the audience to take it. I didn't, you know, get mired up in like, ooh, you know, does it make sense for them to take the form of a... No, it doesn't. Just make a good reason and go with it. It's your goddamn movie.
Well, how about maybe Prowl slightly bumps the thing to scan something that, you know, maybe Grimlock was going to scan like a car and he bumps in, scans like a dinosaur or something like that. I mean,
anything. As long as you give a reason, if you give a good reason, it's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, that's really it. I mean, there's dozens of movies. I mean, like, think of like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. The clock in San Dimas is always running. There's no sense to that. That doesn't make any sense. But the authority figure said it and set it down as a rule.
Yeah.
And so writing-wise, you get away with it. No one ever questions it. It's all about placement and timing. It doesn't have to, like, stand up in court.
No, that does make a good sense. I don't necessarily subscribe to the fact that it has to completely be a vehicle, because the whole reason in the cartoon for the Dinobots was they were big, bulky machines with enormous firepower that used the strategy that we learned from the dinosaurs to basically, right, you know, be a brutal force against nature.
Well, you read the comic adaptation of Revenge of the Fallen, right?
Yes.
Okay, in there, and I assume this is usually they have an earlier script and stuff gets cut out and then it's not in the movie.
Right.
In the comic adaptation, the reason Alice...
Yeah, she scanned Alice in Wonderland.
She scanned like automaton of Alice in Wonderland, some kind of, you know, Disney ride. And that's why her name was Alice. But all she did was scan the machine that was pretending to be Alice. So you could just as easily, I mean, they literally do make robotic dinosaurs.
Right. And they
make animatronic dinosaurs all the time. Right.
Yeah. So if you scanned that, you could be a dinosaur.
Yeah, like the Walk with Dinosaurs show or whatever.
No, there's all sorts. I mean, like, that's just one set of reasons. You could probably come up with 100 reasons to do it. No. It's all about how you do it.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think that they... Well, here's a couple things really quickly that I think need to happen with Transformers 3. They need to get the writing team needs to have complete control over the script, and or they need to get somebody in there that is a true Transformers nut that will know how to actually write something with the sensibility that makes it feel like, I think we talked about last week, it's that, you know, even though G.I. Joe was a little bit faulty in some parts, it felt like G.I. Joe, the spirit was there, where we watch Transformers and it's a good movie, but it doesn't feel like the Transformers that we know from G1. So for Transformers 3, we need somebody to just sort of come in there and just add the extra, you know, icing on the cake to the writing that makes it feel like Transformers.
I think they could really benefit from a new set of writers. I think Bay is like probably the greatest action director of our age.
Right.
But I really think he makes what you give him on the piece of paper. And if what you give him is not very deep, it is not going to be very deep. And if what you give him is really good, he'll make something really good. But he's not, you know, inclined to add anything really quality to a story.
Yeah, and he also wants to get the widest group of people, which I think
he might add stuff in, like, I want this to blow up here, I want a little comedy scene here.
Right.
But he's not going to turn around and be like, man, this story, you know, quality is crap. Well, that's just not his thing.
Yeah. All right, well, I don't want to labor on that too long, but let's...
We're on, one story. We're talking about 20 minutes.
I could go on and on about Michael Bay. I agree with you. Great action director. He just needs to go watch Stardust and learn how to do a slow scene. So, all right, moving on. Go ahead and take the next story if you would. Oh, by the way, he's also doing Awesome Babes. Yeah, big whoop. Tell us about the concept images, if you would, please. Enter.
Okay, TFG2 member Wesoliek, I think I said that as close as I could, has posted concept art for Bumblebee and Scorponok during the pre-production stages of Transformers. The art shows that Scorponok was not at all too different during the planning stages, while Bumblebee looks radically different and rather sleeker than what the figure turned out to be. However, it's easy to understand why they went with the prevailing design, since the 1976 Chevrolet Camaro and the 2007 concept versions needed to be recognizable when Bumblebee was in robot mode.
So, is this from the current movie?
This is the first one. This is from the first movie.
So this is what Bumblebee was originally supposed to look like before they had to make it look like more like the actual Chevrolet Camaro, right?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. Maybe they hadn't solidified it.
I hate to say it, but I like it. I mean, you
know, he definitely looks a lot more sleek.
You know, the head's a better design in some ways, but I gotta say, it looks sad.
It looks like a mushroom.
Yeah. I mean, I like the body.
Aliens thing going in the back, but
Yeah, I mean, I like the the body shape, but yeah, the head doesn't quite match it. So I'll give you that one. So
I like the face a little bit more. I wish, like, if they put that face with brighter eyes on the head they have now, I'd have been much cooler with it.
Yeah.
I really dislike how Bumblebee looks like he has a ball gag in all the time. I'm always looking at Bumblebee and waiting for Prime to be like, bring out the gimp. You know?
Oh, you're terrible. You're terrible. What dirty thoughts for your mind? Weevil, any thoughts on these?
Well, like I wrote, I thought it was pretty cool that you get to see what they originally look like. I mean, Scorponok doesn't look any more different than what he... I mean, it doesn't look all that much different than the actual movie, but I think Bumblebee looked a lot cooler in terms of the body. But like I wrote there, it's basically, I mean, they obviously had to make him look more like a Chevy Camaro.
Right.
So that they had to give that up a little bit. But I think other than that, I think they're pretty cool. Okay. And it's cool that we see it like 4 years later, but you know.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, geez, this is, you know, why are you showing us this now? So, but well, speaking of Bumblebee, why don't you tell us about the next story, Bweebum, if you care to read it.
Bweebum, that's you.
Oh yeah, yeah. So this guy in Mexico made this really cool costume that he could a Bumblebee movie costume that he could actually transform himself into the vehicle mode, and then he is able to transform out of it into the into Bumblebee, and it's actually pretty cool. But while he does have the Prime helmet painted yellow, but other than that, I think this is pretty darn cool, because I thought the guy that I saw at San Diego Comic-Con was really cool. He was really well detailed, but this guy gives him a run for his money, I think.
I'm watching the video now as we speak.
Yeah, there's a video embedded on tformers.com, so...
Yeah,
it's actually really fun to watch. It's like
wow.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, his leg kind of just is kind of sticking out there, because obviously he's
right.
I mean,
right.
He's human.
That's
so
very
he's
close, though. I mean, you don't get much closer than that.
Yeah, and then when he transforms and he steps out, that's really, really cool, I thought.
Yeah, it's better. It works better from car to robot than necessarily. It takes a little time unless you want to, you know. You don't want to break the costume stepping down, but
right, put your weight on parts and stuff.
But that's very impressive. That's pretty amazing.
That's amazing. I got just anytime I see something like this, though, I gotta just point out the free time. Who has that free time?
College kids,
man.
Well, I mean, hey, when I was in college, I had better things to do than develop a costume. Thank you very much.
My one friend developed both a Darth Vader costume and a Boba Fett costume. We went to opening of Empire Strikes Back re-release, I think, before the special edition. And I was Boba Fett. He was Darth Vader. And I tell you, you're like an instant celebrity. You walk into a movie theater with oh crap, I think we lost.
Oh, way to go, Ender.
All right, hold on. Let me get back here. But you become an instant celebrity once you put those costumes on. And then of course, you know, the power went out. We never got a chance to see the movie, but we were the entertainment for the crowd in this huge theater while we were waiting for them to fix the particular issue.
I mean, have you ever gone to like Comic-Con or something like that, or anything that big in terms of that size?
I have never been to a Comic-Con, but I mean, I've been to BotCon, and just seeing some of the like the RC costume. There's this one female dressed as RC with an Energon cube. I'm like, wow, you really spend a lot of time on this thing.
Yeah, most of the people who actually develop their own costumes are instant celebrities. They're bigger celebrities than the celebrities themselves. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Unless they're women, but other than that.
Well, the women's stuff, I mean, there was a Baroness, I think, a couple years ago, and
yeah.
I mean,
there was a lot of those this year, too.
Of course, it's kind of easy to do, but
yeah. Although there are a lot of different costumes that you get to see. One guy at Comic-Con this year dressed as Astro Boy, complete with like stilts and everything, so he looked like he's flying up in the air and everything.
Really?
With the flame. Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
At some point you're gonna have to explain to me what Astro Boy is.
Are you serious?
It's a Japanese cartoon, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the boy robot. You know, the boy.
Yeah, with the pointy hair.
I've seen it. I've never seen an episode or anything. So.
I've never seen it either. I just know who he is.
Okay, I have the general concept of it. So.
Okay. Yeah. He has like the flames and everything on stilts and everything. It's pretty crazy.
Well, while we wait for Andrew to get back, why don't you tell us about new looks at iGear G1 and Nemesis trailers and roller accessory. Weave them.
All right. So iGear has updated their website with new images of their upcoming masterpiece Optimus Prime and their Nemesis Prime trailers. Their new look gives us our shots of the roller accessory that will accompany the trailer. And it seems to be a reproduction of the THS hybrid style convoy with the same turnable wheels feature. And interestingly enough, the pictures that we have of this trailer are blurred out, like the Autobot symbol. So we're not exactly sure what that means, but hopefully not because Hasbro is giving them issues.
Oh, great.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did say that, right, during BotCon that they were going to put a kibosh on that kind of stuff.
Oh,
they didn't like getting shown up, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, maybe if you make some toys that some of the fans want to actually make some money, you wouldn't have these problems. So, I don't know.
But that's just wrong, giving the people what they want.
Yeah, I know, and it's all based on financials and stuff like that, but I could see if there's an issue where they can't particularly show this. Anyhow, what do we think of this toy in general, though?
I think that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, just the fact that it's a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't say I've played with many trailers in my life, so I don't know if one's better than the other. I know that they are different, but I'm not too sure if one's better than the other or what. So
yeah, how many trailers do we got at this point? Let's just review. We got the one for Classics Prime, right?
Yeah, we've got the G3 trailer by Fans Project.
And then we have
the iGear trailer.
The iGear. And then what's the other one?
What's the other? Oh yeah, the BTS toy one.
Right, and then do we count the Fans Project armor trailer or no?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do we count the Fans Project armor one, the Ultra Magnus armor, as a trailer or no?
Oh, the City Commander trailer? Yeah. No, I think that's more of like an add-on. I would consider that more of an add-on.
So we got what, two for Masterpiece and one for Classics Prime, if I'm correct?
Where's the Masterpiece one? This one?
Yeah, is this for Masterpiece?
No, this is this looks to be a scaled up reproduction of the hybrid style convoy. But hybrid style is smaller. I don't know about the scale, actually.
Wait a minute. I mean, isn't that Masterpiece Prime right there, the transform for the one picture with the roller?
That's hybrid style.
Now what's hybrid style?
It's just a smaller version of the Masterpiece.
Oh, is that the one that they announced as well?
No, they announced recently that they're reissuing the figure.
Okay.
But that comes with the trailer.
Okay, so all right. So let's start from we have Classics Prime, we have Hybrid Prime, and then we have Masterpiece Prime.
Right.
Correct? Okay. And then all the various Takaran and Classics, you know, iterations. These trailers are for which Prime? The Classics or the Hybrid?
I think it's the Hybrid.
Okay.
I cannot say for sure.
Okay. I could have swore these were, one was the one was for Classics, but I guess I'll tell you what, I am going to go to our crazy fanatic fan board and ask our researchers to research this for me and get me the definitive list of Prime trailers and then what they go with. And Scaleface, this is you. And then I will correct us on next week's show. So So stay tuned, loyal fans. I will get you the answers because I need the answers as well.
So
next story.
No, hang on. The hybrid style convoy is only 4 inches tall. It's like world's smallest Transformers version of a transformable, like, Prime. But he's extremely poseable as far as I can remember.
Okay.
And he's just, I don't know, I think a lot of people said he was a lot of fun. When they heard that they were reissuing, a lot of people were pretty happy on the board, so.
Okay.
Guessing he's good.
He's taking off in the Masterpiece one, right?
Yeah, he's a smaller version of the Masterpiece.
Okay.
I know that much.
And the Masterpiece, I mean, when I say Masterpiece, I also mean 20th anniversary, 25th anniversary, Prime, stuff like that.
Correct.
So. Okay, next story. That's when just blowing through some. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I get Ender back here.
Yeah, what's Ender doing?
I don't know what he's doing. He was de-skyped, he says.
De-skyped.
Ring,
his
ring,
child
ring.
Only yelled at
him. Ring, ring, ring. Come in, Ender. I'm calling
Ender.
You.
Answer the phone, Ender.
Hello. 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 Hello.
What is this, South Park?
No, that was from Three Stooges.
Oh.
Hello. 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 somebody called Stern on one of their shows, and they all start going around doing that. And just the whole
hello?
Entire show was
hello?
Hello. Hello.
Oh, he's back.
No, you're
Spatic-y,
fast. No, you ruined the joke. Hello.
You ruined the joke. Get back off.
No, say hello, Ender.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, I'm laughing.
All right.
I think Anthony's still as crazy as he was earlier. He's just going to start. Now he's going to start, like, singing, and it's going to be show tunes all over again.
One singular sensation. Da, 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 oh
my
da.
My dog pulled my cable internet off the back wall.
What? Bad Fluffy. Yeah.
Dude, he just owned your cable. Yeah, he did. He totally did. He knew I was, like, doing a podcast
is beyond me. Wait, what was the name of your dog? It's got to be a Transformer name. I bet you anything.
No, it's Bolt. Hawkeye.
It's Hawkeye. Oh.
Hawkeye.
G.I. Joe. Go figure.
Actually, that was meant for MASH, but...
Oh.
I have a cat named Prowl, if that helps.
Hey, there you go. Does he go... I can't
curly remember. Ears?
And we've agreed the next dog's name will probably be Grimlock, but...
No, you gotta name it a cat so you could say, me, Grimlock, big pussy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Now, come on. Second week in a row that joke ain't working? Come on.
I figured you'd learn by now, but
Dale
we're gonna...
is a four-week-old marshmallow.
All right. Well, back to news here. God, all right.
Where are we in the news? I'm lost.
Ender, we are on Revenge of the Fallen Super Tuner 2-pack camshaft bonus with Leader Prime and Megatron. You get to read it.
Wait. Forget about
these. I'm still looking it back up.
We want to figure this out. Ender, what's a is hybrid style just a miniature version of the Masterpiece Convoy?
No, it is. It is different. I do actually have one of those. It is very similar in a lot of ways, but there are differences. It is more detailed. It has a trailer.
Well,
it's kind of a weird thing.
Well, the question is, all these trailers that are being made, which model of Prime are they for? Are they for Masterpiece or Hybrid or Classic?
Oh, I think. Well, I don't think they're. Well, the Hybrid comes with its own trailer.
Okay.
Right, but
it's a very detailed trailer. So I don't know why.
The one that iGear is coming out with, the TF-004, is that
for classics?
Is that classics?
I think it's actually the smaller. There were the two classics primes. I think they made one for the bigger one. I think this one's for the smaller one.
Well, then what about the one from where are the other ones again? Weave them.
Fans Project is definitely for classics. I know because there was actually. There was a video review and it was huge. It was just like It is exactly for Hanky or Classics Prime. So
okay, well, I will get together. I will put our what's the word I'm looking for? Our Transformers details expert forum member Scaleface on the job, and have him go ballistic with telling us exactly what the trailers are and what they go with. So Scaleface, there's your homework assignment. So get cracking. And
school hasn't started yet. Get rolling.
Yeah, and you will you will win a prize. I don't know what. So
I'll say Anthony's entire Transformers collection.
Actually, you know what? I will tell you what. Scaleface, since you're so good at this stuff, if you want, because I have this. I was thinking about this today. I have two VHS copies from the original Family Home Entertainment.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He said VHS.
Well, I have the original boxes with them too, which feature the original artwork of both More Than Meets the Eye and, of course, the three-parter of what's the way he brought Cybertron to Earth? The Ultimate Doom. So if you would like those VHS copies with the original boxes that my mom snaked from the video store before we went out of business, I will send those for your Scaleface for all your due diligence.
I made fun of you, but I actually want those. That's awesome.
Do you really?
But your second and ultimate challenge is to find a VCR somewhere that you can buy under like $100.
They still sell VCRs, don't they?
They do, but they're quite expensive.
Yeah, every garage sale in America has three.
Okay. Really? Because are you sure they'll actually last for longer than 5 minutes?
Well, those ones are hard to say.
Eat your tape.
Well, tell you what, Scaleface.
Why does this thing say play, pause, and obliterate?
Yeah, what is this? What is this chewing thing?
Is this thing supposed to have teeth? I don't remember my last name. Teeth.
What do you mean rewind? Be kind. Be kind to what?
What?
Never mind. That joke didn't work at all.
VHS. Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, so scale.
What about tracking? What does a tracking mean?
Tracking is where it reads the tape to make sure it's reading the correct portion.
Or what's this?
Or it makes it go in focus, so it no longer.
What was that copy protection on it? That was on.
They used to fade in and out.
Yeah. What was that copy protection crap that they put on it? Chromo.
Oh yeah, and then when you tried to record it, it would be all like jumpy and stuff.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. I just remember how much of a pain in the ass it was to get around it.
It's like that made it so hard to steal tapes from the video store.
I know. Yeah. Come on, Blockbuster. You're gonna go down soon.
I used to work at Blockbuster, and I tried. I really tried.
It's like I'm trying to mix Pink Floyd with The Wall and The Wizard of Oz, and The Wizard of Oz keeps fading in and out. God darn it.
Exactly.
Or if you want to put End of the World as We Know It over the opening of the 06 or the 86 Transformers movie.
The End of the World as We Oh.
Yeah, REM. Put that over Unicron eating that planet. That's great. It actually times out about right.
Really?
Yeah, I did that once.
Oh. They must have.
We'll end your homework for the week. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, moving on to seriously, Revenge of the Fallen Super Tuner 2-pack camshaft. Did somebody read that? Hurry, please.
Okay, I'll get it. Thanks to the Arker, we have learned that Hasbro Incorporated will be releasing some new products. The first is Transformers Revenge of the Fallen box set entitled Super Tuner.
Oh my God.
Super Tuner Throwdown.
And somebody at Hasbro getting paid way too much to write this copy.
What is this blowpipe?
Blowpipe.
This is sideways. The actual guy's name is Blowpipe. You've got to be
Blowpipe
kidding.
Blowpipe and Sideways, don't they just seem like they're like chilling out? Like,
just take it easy. Just let it go.
Like, man, when I transform, it's like I can like see the music.
Hey, dude, we're going to go over to Blowpipe and Sideways' house. It's like, it's going to be a totally stone in time.
Oh my God.
Transform into? Like,
whoever is
wrong.
Who's ever in the naming department needs to be fired.
Yeah, this thing got all the way to a box. We can see the picture.
I'm sorry. I completely. Right. I started laughing. I saw that. I'm sorry.
It's a repaint of the Transformers Dropkick, which is
a pickup truck.
From which line?
The first movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or somewhere.
It's the second in a long line of crappy movie.
Oh, they're doing the ugly bonus value boxes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just slap something on the side. That's going to make you want it even more.
Buy the same thing that you bought before for the same price, but you get a show. toy
that
with
wasn't
it.
Me. That wasn't me.
who's laughing? What? Where's she laughing?
Z isn't here. I have to do something.
Was that who's laughing there? Was that your wife?
That is not. No, that's my girlfriend.
Oh, what's she laughing at?
I don't know. She's watching something.
Oh, well, ask her what she's laughing at.
She's laughing. It can't be.
I know what you're laughing at.
It's a show.
It's a show that's really funny.
What's the show?
I don't know. Some Taiwanese show.
Oh.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Darn it, I want to know about other people's lives.
Stop sneaking into my life. Go away.
All right, so what do we think of these things? Anything?
That's why I hide in my basement while we do the podcast.
So anything,
I don't have a basement.
Anything to write home about with these toys or no?
No.
No.
Okay, next story.
Unanimous, no.
Is it crap or does it suck?
It's both. All right, so my reading.
Just start making sound effects for that, sound bites for that. Is it crap?
Well, I was trying to get the sound bites set up for last week's show, but don't get me started on the technical problems I was having, because we would have this, you know, dun dun da da bow, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and then we got crap for it.
Well, you know,
we got crap for it. People hated you for it. They were like, "Oh, why would you make this?"
Well, I can only try so hard, but. All right, somebody read about the extensive Lucky Draw Black God Magnus Gallery, please.
Okie dokie. Well, during auto assembly, it was announced that the guys at Transformers at the Moon would display their extensive Lucky Draw collection, which I have no idea how they got it. They got to spend so much money on this stuff, but I digress. They got rid of the... They displayed the extremely rare Lucky Draw Black God Magnus, which is the robots. Combination, which is car robots. Yeah, robots in disguise in the States. It is the combination of
Prime and
Fire Convoy and Magnus.
Yeah.
In the series, but it's like the Lucky Draw. So they made like, I don't know, like five of them. And according to Transformers at the Moon, it basically, the validity and the actual existence of these toys was so highly disputed because they've only been photographed like once or twice or something like that. And then the last one that was actually sold in public was like from 06 or something like that. And so people actually finally got to see the toy in person. Obviously they couldn't hold it, but
right. They
got to see that it actually existed. So
this is the rarest of the rarest of Transformer toys.
It's one of, yeah, it's like not only are Lucky Draws already rare and expensive, but you know, you got your Black God Magnus to actually be able to, it actually exists. So,
you know, I think we need to specify though, isn't this the rarest of the rare crappy repaints? This isn't like it's like the 86 Unicron or something where there's only two because they never made anymore or something like that. I mean, like, this is like a bad repaint they made for a contest. There's only five of them because no one would have bought six.
I guess,
toy I got sitting 10 feet from me in a shelf with a different paint job.
I think the Fire Convoy and the Ultra Magnus figures were really well-made figures, so...
Oh, yeah, I'm saying, I own the thing. I'm not saying it's a bad figure. I'm just saying, how exciting is it with a different paint job?
I agree.
Well,
I agree.
Obviously, you don't like repaints.
Everyone but you. I see what you're saying,
it's not a Seeker or Cliff Jumper. Anybody else? No,
but,
thank you.
Right, right.
But is it nice just to be able to finally say that these particular toys were at least existed? We now have, you know, proof that they existed.
I'd rather have the ones painted as Hotspot. Remember those that they didn't make?
Truthfully,
I find the story of the dispute of the Lucky Draw Back God Magnus being like around, like actually being in existence, the story of the figure itself than the actual figure.
I think it's sad that fans managed to argue over that. Wow, we really.
That could be. That could be. Cut that part out, please.
Now, Wayne, what'd you say?
I said that's because you're married.
Oh well, that's fine.
No, it was just a joke.
Well, as you see, the black guy, you know, the fans, they could be very much like that. What's that one character from a Robot Chicken? But you know, it's a little bit fun to, you know. So what? Okay, answer me this: what is the rarest? We know what was that? The vinyl Jawas were the rarest Star Wars toys. What are the? What
really,
is?
I got some of those.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. We'll have to check.
No, the Golden Cape, whatever.
Ender, can you give me your home address and where exactly you store them, which cabinet level?
So what is the rarest Transformer out there?
I live in Washington, D.C., and I live at 1600
Pennsylvania Avenue. I knocked on that door recently. There's nobody home right now.
Oh, cool. I would like to disclose that this is not the actual... The Transformers podcast does not advocate knocking on the door of the White House.
Nor robbing it of all its Transformers.
No, not at all. So, all right. So, but seriously, what is the rarest Transformer toy ever?
Black God Magnum. I'm just kidding. I have no idea, man.
Well, it probably is something like that. One of those lucky draw. I mean, it depends on how you're counting it. I mean, there are those ones that are made for contests.
Would it be the...
And those are... super rare, and that's their only basis of value is how rare they are. They were made to be rare, but if you're asking about something that's like just hard to find, yeah, probably talking like a Bumble Jumper or something like that, where it was like an accident kind of run. Or
now, what happened with the Bumble Jumper? I keep hearing different stories.
No, it was just a little lax in their production runs, and there were some Cliff Jumpers that were bumblebees. There were a few toys that got made in different forms and. Nobody really cared. It's the kind of the impression I always got.
Okay. But that's different from a hug cap, right?
Mine's destroyed. It's in no shape to claim that I really have one, but my first Bumblebee was a Bumble Jumper.
Really?
Yeah, and I had no idea it was worth anything. It was like one of my first Transformers, and it just, yeah, it doesn't even have a head anymore. But
oh, jeez.
Isn't that like the actual reason why it's rare? Jesus Christ.
It was like in my grandparents' couch for 7 years. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine one of the rarest Transformers is sitting in somebody's couch right now?
It probably is.
Your grandma's like, I found this for you. I thought you might want it.
I'm like, son of a...
You know, it's like in like my friend, like you found like a,
like going through.
He's like, I got something for you. I found something for you. You're gonna love it. It involves Transformers. I'm thinking, ooh, please let it be like a Bumble Jumper, and it's like one of those decoy things, and it's like, oh, thanks. I could use this as an eraser if I want to. So, anyhow, moving on to the next story before we digress too far into memory land. Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, downloadable content, detail, and images. And with the launch of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen character and map pack, plus downloadable content right around the corner, we wanted to share with you the full details of Luxoflux's exciting new content. Set for release on August 27th, or pretty much in 3 days, on the Microsoft Points Xbox Live Marketplace for $9.99, and the PlayStation Store for PS3, the pack contains 8 brand new playable characters and 3 new character skins, most of which are usable in both the single-player campaign and multiplayer. There are 3 new multiplayer maps, a new expert difficulty level for the single-player campaign, additional support for Xbox 360 achievements and PlayStation 3 trophies. And the new characters are... Generation 1 Optimus Prime, Generation 1 Megatron, Generation 1 Starscream, Generation 1 Sunstorm, Soundwave, Sideswipe, Jazz, Jetfire, and multiplayer only. And the new skins are Generation 1 Colors Ratchet, Generation 1 Colors Sideswipe, Stealth Colors Bumblebee. New maps include the Courtyard, the Hillside, and the Sandstorm. And you can view all the rest of the information and the glorious, beautiful pictures on the TFormers.com website. Well, you've played this, Ender, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I wrote the review. And this news is fan-smegging-tastic.
Really?
It's awesome. I'm going to bump my review review up from the 8 I gave it all the way to a 9. And I couldn't tell you how much I'm looking forward to these. These look great. I've watched the trailer that just came out recently.
Now you're going to actually spend the extra $10 just to get these characters?
To play Optimus Prime in this game from Generation 1? Are you kidding?
No, all right.
Oh, my God. This is like the best thing that has happened to a Transformers gamer ever.
Really?
If you play video games and you like Transformers and you don't own this game so you can get this content, you fail. You have to get this. This is awesome. The game has been great. I've actually had a lot of fun playing this game. And to get a G1 Megatron Prime and Starscream skin is like out of control. And this Friday, I think it's this Friday, T-Fans member Breaker is organizing a T-Fans get-together on Xbox Live.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for pointing that out, because I was going to give him major props for doing this.
So, yeah, he and I have been talking about that for, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to do it on Friday
Breaker
night.
I play all the time. I'll be there. Breaker's going to be there. He's pretty good. Kicks the crap out of me.
I'm afraid. I don't want to play. I'm afraid of playing.
Get over it.
Get over it.
You know what? I'm bad. Anyone who plays that night, you will cream me. I have two. I wrote the review and I got to touch it like 3 times since.
So are you saying that this is probably one of the best Transformer games ever?
This is the best Transformers game ever. Unfortunately, that's not really saying much.
Right.
But it is the best. There's only one Transformers game, I think, that I haven't played, and this is hands down, by far, head and shoulders, the best Transformers game ever.
Which one have you played? You didn't play the PS2 the Japanese one.
Yeah, the Japanese one I have not managed to play.
Play.
I am told. I even played it. It's Japanese fighting game that's of Beast Wars and Beast Wars 2.
Oh my God. Oh, you know, that brings me back to this old game from N64, the Beast Wars Transmetals game.
I got that.
I hate that game.
I actually have the box. That was a Blockbuster exclusive.
Blockbuster exclusive. And every freaking time I went there, it was rented out. And then I was so happy when I finally got the game. I went home. I sucked. I was very, very upset.
But it is the only appearance of Transmetal Rhinox.
Right. Outside of the Toyland, right?
And Waspinator. Waspinator's in there as a Transmetal.
Transmetal. I have the Transmetal toy, but yeah. You're right. But the game, nevertheless, the game still sucks.
No, the game was awful. That was the first Beast Wars game. They had that on the PlayStation and the PC. That was awful as well.
Yeah. The first-person shooter game. Yeah.
Scaleface, your other homework assignment is to come up with a list of all the Transformers video games and send them to me.
I think I could give you that right now.
No, we could give you the list right now, yeah.
Oh, what's the list?
Mystery of Convoy.
Which is what, the old NES
It's for the NES, but it never came out in the US.
What about the Commodore 64 one?
That was what I was going to say next. Actually, I almost got one of those on eBay.
Don't interrupt him, Anthony.
I'm sorry.
Back off, man.
I'm backing off.
No, there's the Commodore 64 one. Which went for a surprising like $150 on eBay like 3-4 days ago.
Really, in the ROMs, I have the ROM.
Yeah. Everybody has the ROM.
Screw the actual game. The ROM.
Then there was I think there wasn't another one until the PlayStation one for Beast Wars, right?
Right. Yeah.
They had Transmetals for both the PlayStation and for the N64. There was the Armada one here. I don't know. I mean, it should have just been called Armada. I think they called it like the Search for Energon or something because they realized Energon was coming out in 10 minutes, but it's really just an Armada game.
Yep.
And then there was, now what's the name of the Japanese one? PS2 one?
I forget. Hang on. Let me find it.
You're talking about the one where they actually have the G1 characters.
They have G1 characters. I've seen, and it's like it was actually dubbed in English. The trouble is you have to get a PS2 that'll play it.
Yeah, that was one of the first games that T-Formers actually broke out, and it was like everybody loved it. And right now, till this day, it is the most popular
Generation 1 Japan article, like, ever. Till this day on T4.com. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
What is the name? Hang on. Here we go. First off, all this
game is Pinky. Crazy.
It's one where they're running around. It's like in 3D, blowing the Decepticons are blowing stuff up.
And then after that,
terrible blowing things up, no matter.
Yeah. It and was after a, that, there's the movie games from the first movie.
Yeah. After
there's
that,
some for the DS, that. And there's the really bad one for every other system.
Man, yeah, and then there was these Transformers animated games too.
Yeah, the DS there was animated one. Game. Yeah, there was a DS animated game. It was counting, actually kind of good.
Are we counting mobile phone games too?
Oh well, yeah, there was a mobile phone game.
Glue came out with one.
You know, two. Yeah. The one for the movie, and then one for Generation One.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're right. I played a couple of homebrew like RPG-ish Beast Wars ones online a couple of times too.
So
this one, but this one is incomparable to the rest. It is really a much better game.
Should I get the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3?
Xbox 360.
Get the 360 because you're going to find a wider community there, I think, of people to play with.
It's more dedicated. I mean, I know you have to pay for it and everything, but it's totally worth the price because you're getting dedicated servers. You don't have to worry about that, like the lag. You know, it's like if one person lags, it doesn't lag the whole game. You know what I mean?
Well, is it the Xbox is like 51% failure rate?
I'm fine. You get the newer generations with the cooler running chips, and they have better soldering and the pace and everything. It's a lot better.
Cool.
You don't have to worry.
Yeah, and there's according to the developers, they said that there's literally no difference between how the PS3 version versus the 360 version looks.
Right.
There's nothing extra to see. So. In terms of clarity.
Cool. All right, writing that down on my Christmas list.
I think the name of the game, I think it was probably just Transformers.
It had some weird subtitle.
Tatakai. Transformers Tatakai.
I knew it was something T. I couldn't place that's
Which
it.
Which translates that's into it. What?
stupid foreigners won't buy our game. I don't know.
We're going to make this game so terrible, nobody will buy it.
Was that a good game at all or no?
No.
No?
That the Winkysoft, which is a developer game, was terrible.
Oh, okay.
Correct. I just went on Google Translate and put it Tatakai. A Japanese to English translation, Tatakai is Tatakai.
Well, there you go. All right,
the Armada game would have been good, except for their button configuration.
Yes, I agree.
What they were thinking.
No, I enjoyed the Armada game. The battle with what's the aircraft carrier guy?
Tidal Wave.
That was a fun level. I had a lot of fun on that one, even though it took forever to do. It was definitely it's even more fun with cheat codes, but anyhow. All right, moving on.
You cheater.
I am a cheater. I want the cheat code to life. All right.
What?
Give me the cheat code to life already. First looks a yellow and red alternate AA03 Suzuki Swift Bumblebee and Cliff Jumper Ender. You get to read this.
I'm still looking at the man. Thanks to DragonX76. Oh, hey, DragonX. We have just received our first looks at Takara Tomy's Transformers Alternity A03 Suzuki Swift Sport Bumblebee. Say that 10 times fast. In both Champion Yellow and Cliff Jumper in Red Pearl. The red version of the figure features a different head, and we're being told that the figure will indeed be named Cliff Jumper.
Very nice.
They are slated for November and may be pre-orderable at tformers.com sponsors Digital Toys and Big Bad Toy Store.
I have to say, I'm really liking these now that I see some colors on them.
Yeah, it's so funny because the rest of the board said the same thing. They're like, this thing looks so crappy before. What do you mean you put paint on it and it looks awesome all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's amazing. It really does look a lot. I'd actually consider getting these now. I wouldn't have even thought about it before.
Well, it's got definition. It looks like the Suzuki car. You see the little Suzuki symbol on it. I mean, it looks like a continuation of the Alternators line or the Binotech line.
Seeing something like this, where it's a more traditional Bumblebee cliff jumper look, and having had the Camaro Bumblebee, as a realistic Bumblebee, would you prefer Bumblebee looked like this in the movie kind of thing? I mean, like, not in the
robot.
Obviously, that doesn't fit the movie aesthetic at all. I mean, the car.
I would have preferred Bumblebee to still have been the Volkswagen, but obviously.
Well, there was a legal issue with that, but finding a way around that, if you could, you could have something like some kind of hatchback like this. You think it would have been better?
No, because if you were like a cool kid, right? Would you be laughed at more if you had a Suzuki Swift as your first car? Or would you be laughed at if you had a Camaro as your first car?
I found the whole Camaro thing kind of implausible anyway. That looks a lot more like somebody's first car to me.
Well, yeah.
That's true. Although my first car was a Bonneville, so it was just like a big mess.
My first car was a Benz. Go figure.
What?
Yeah, no. And I crashed it, too.
Is it a hand-me-down Benz, or did your dad just go, here you go, have a Benz, like a brand new Benz?
It wasn't my car. It was like the car that was bought for me to drive in the family. I'm not quite sure why it was a Benz. All I knew is it was really hard to keep in repair, and when anything did go wrong, it cost a fortune. I was like, man,
yeah, that's a Benz.
I wish this was a Honda. If I wrapped a Honda around a tree, nobody
did. Was Honda's reputation that good back then, though? I mean,
well, just in terms of parts.
Yeah, I know, because all the cars had the same exact parts. I mean,
yeah, it's like if my cigarette lighter went out in the Benz, it was like $7,000. Have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing nowadays. It's just, I mean, Benzes still have a lot of issues in terms of reliability. You just have to. It's one of those cars that you have to take care of, like, or else it's just gonna pop.
When you're 17, that's just not gonna happen.
No, that's not gonna
happen. Well, 17, you just want to get a car and drive it into the ground. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. So why would you have a Camaro?
Right. As long as you have a Camaro.
Actually, I knew that guy. I knew the guy who had the old Camaro.
See, exactly. He was like the. Did he turn out to be like? Oh, he says a Camaro. Blah blah blah. Right.
It didn't work out so hot for him.
No.
No,
you
I'm
going to jail.
No. But not far from. But my favorite memory of that Camaro is when it overheated while we were in downtown Chicago for no reason.
Ah.
Just all this steam just shoots out of the hood every side.
Oh man,
that's a feature.
Yeah.
All right.
It's actually a steam train in disguise.
All right, guys, this isn't Car Talk Podcast.
Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
All right.
I just wanted to say that.
Sorry, like five people who actually understood that.
Yeah, where's that from? I have no idea where that's from.
Really?
Really?
Oh, I thought you were making a reference to that. Oh, I'm sorry.
You said Car Talk.
Yeah, you said Car Talk.
Oh, is that where that's from?
Yeah, we were like being click and clack.
I don't know. I have no concept of actual cars other than drawing them. So.
Well, it's a talk show that these two
sounds
like
a lot like this actually.
Yeah, actually, it does. They just go around like people call about their questions. It's an NPR program.
Oh, okay. That's why I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Okay. Then sorry, four of us.
That's okay.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
NPR serves a very valuable purpose to the community and provides a lot of opportunity to put old people to sleep while driving. Just like this. Anyhow. All right. Before I piss off any more listeners. All right. Takara Tomy device label Transformers delayed. Someone tell me about this.
Yeah, I'm really upset about this.
Well, first of all, what was this? It looks like transforming USB stuff.
They are.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They are fully functional peripherals that can transform into transformers.
Are we looking at a fully functional computer?
No.
Okay.
But no, those are the blaster, I think, is the he's like a USB hub or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Okay.
And he looks but he just transforms into something that looks like a computer.
Right.
But it's really just a 4-port USB hub.
And, okay, so one turns into, looks like Grimlock, and the other guy turns into Slugfest.
No, Ravage, it's Trypticon.
Oh, Trypticon. Yeah. Sorry, Trypticon. Yeah,
Ravage, because Ravage Mouse just screams Trypticon to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, Ravage and Tychotron are USB sticks. And Grimlock and Trypticon are something or other.
Yeah, I mean, this looks really cool.
The doohickey and the thingamabob. No, they're mice. They are transformable. Yeah, I just,
these didn't do anything for me, especially at the price.
Yeah, it's like 4,000 yen. You gotta be kidding.
Yeah, it's what? Is it like $40? It's like you gotta. So we got what? Like a, you know,
$40 a
piece. We got a $10 piece of hardware attached to a $10 toy, and the price is $40.
$40 a pop.
Now, wow.
That's the Amazon, you know, Japan price. So they list there as 57.75 yen. So that's like what, $60 nowadays?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like you combine the two pieces you're getting, you're like, I'm getting a $10 USB memory stick and a $10 toy tops on a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm getting a $60 price tag.
I think it's like a low capacity USB jump drive too. It's like 16 gigs or something. It's like ridiculous. It's
ridiculously small.
It's something you could buy for $2 if they wanted to like steal from you.
You'd be better off like getting a little like memory stick and like shoving it into a transformer already.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're just, it's not even worth it. Seriously.
Well, it's, I mean, just, it's a cool idea. It just probably needs to come down in price. So
yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great idea.
It's an kids awesome. Are a mud flap. You hollow out the guts. You shove a mouse into it. And you have
I don't know. That's probably why they were so bad to begin with. Because they had no gut. I don't know. There's no joke there. All right, moving on. Next story.
Yes? No?
Full looks. What?
Sorry. I thought somebody was going to help me out there.
I heard something there.
I thought somebody was going to help me out with the end of that Price is Right, You Fail song, but
blah, blah,
I was
blah,
left
blah.
High and dry. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The price is wrong. All right. First look at Walmart exclusive. Oh, we're not supposed to say Walmart. I'm saying Walmart over and over again.
Walmart.
Just do first look at item 11.
Walmart. All right.
First look at not Walmart exclusive hardhead in the box. Thanks to Mark, who was posted a new image of not Walmart.
Oh my god.
I don't know what's funnier, the fact that Matt sounded like he's cocking up a hairball or the that Anthony's admitted.
Oh, I'm crying.
Red trap bird loose in there. Oh, man. All right.
Oh, Edgar, you got to warn me, man. You're going to give me a heart attack there.
All right. What we have here is Walmart exclusive Transformers Universe Hardhead in the box. Woohoo! He's in a box. This toy is a true repaint with no mold changes from the original Onslaught action figure. Hardhead was first shown at BotCon 2009 and appears here in the actual Universe box. Again, the box, here's the feature. Not the ROTF style packaging the Superion set was packed in. Hardhead is slated to be released in stores in October. I can dig a Hardhead.
Oh, I thought I was done with the classics line for now. Bastards.
No.
What do you mean? There's nothing wrong. Wait, Universe is just slowly trickling out with repaints and stuff.
I know, but damn it, I want to stop paying. I barely have enough money as it is.
Did you not buy the original Onslaught figure?
I did, but I thought I was done when I bought Dark. What's his name? The Dark Wind. And now I got to buy his repaint, and now the Onslaught repaint. Those are bastards.
Buy the repaints.
I've skipped most of those repaints.
Oh, I'm a completist, man. That's the problem.
You're a Universe.
I'm a completist. Not Universe. I don't buy the Cybertron crap.
You know, at the end, I think I was freed from repaints by Nemesis Prime. Anytime, like the first time they had one of those black primes out, and it was like,
but it's such
it was the Octane Prime. It was like really cool looking. I was like, oh, that's awesome. It's got upside down Autobot symbols. That's so great. And then there was another one. I was like, oh, that's great. And there was like seven of them. I'm like, maybe not so much.
You know, like, see, I mean, I got to go buy this damn thing now. Yeah.
They just kept painting primes black, and I was just, no.
Well, at least they didn't paint them white and call them Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, I know. It's like you can paint it white and you can paint it black.
No, it's white, it's black, it it's purple.
Or is it white is it dark chocolate or is it white chocolate? Okay, I'm sorry.
Either way, it's
I want to get a whole bunch of Magnuses and a whole bunch of Nemesis Primes and like Stan Skids and Mudflap in between like whole groupings of them. With like a little Michael Jackson action figure and be like, we don't know.
But up, up, up.
In the name of Michael Jackson.
All right. With that being
It's not too early for it anymore.
With that being said, let's wrap up toy news and quickly go into comic news. And Ender, what's going on in the comic world? Oh, comic guru that you are.
What you've got listed here, I actually know very little about. Who Andrew Wildman, who I'm not sure exactly who he is back in the world of Transformers.
Marvel UK comics back in the
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like I seem to recall that. Yeah, that's where I know the name from. It's on the side of those.
He did the first volume of War Within for Dreamwave.
Yeah, they look. Yeah, and they look kind of liquid metal-y back in the day. Anyway, he is back and doing, according to his Twitter page, a series of 6 Transformers covers. He doesn't say which series the covers will be for, but he writes that they are iconic ones.
Ooh.
And I'll read off the reminder here. And while you're following him on Twitter, you should follow us on Twitter at TFormers Twitter.
Twitter.com/TFormers.
Say that again a little clearer. I think you cut out.
If you're going to plug it, at least plug it right.
Okay, I'm sorry. You plug it. It's your plug. Go. Show me how to plug.
Okay,
I'll plug you all right now. Why don't you follow TFormers on Twitter at twitter.com/TFormers?
And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at
This isn't an Anthony plug. No.
All right, hi, 1975. So,
if you want to follow me? No.
Yeah, what are you, Weebum?
Slash iHut.
Okay.
There was another bit of comic news in specific. There's, I guess we can cover the full solicitations next time because that's where they fall in.
Yeah,
but,
how is All Hail Megatron number 14?
I quite liked it. I thought it was a little better than the last one, especially art-wise. There was the Sunstreaker part was... It was kind of like the All Dead Guy issue because they
no spoilers
kind of hinting it. Okay, well, you say no spoilers now. I'm spoiling.
That's what you get.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay, so for Anthony, we won't have spoilers. The first part has Sunstreaker, even though he's dead, and the second part is all Galvatron. And the fun part there is that they kind of reunite him with Cyclonus and Scourge and give him sweeps, and he's sort of in his full Galvatron glory now, even with no help from Unicron or without being Megatron, which is kind of interesting. The biggest piece of news I thought that came out this week about Transformers comics is that there will be a sort of, it's going to be like this 32-page mid-book called Transformers Continuum that's going to be coming out, I think just a little before or maybe the same week as the Transformers number 1 of the ongoing series. I think the idea being there that the Transformers Continuum will give you all the backstory you need to catch up.
So are you telling me like past, you know, like 3 years of the new brand new IDW Transformers Generation 1 continuity
is going to be explained in the Transformers Continuum.
Ooh.
So you tell me I wasted it? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is not quite the same as the full experience of reading it. However, if you are not caught up or you want to catch up or even you just want it solidified,
if you just want some tomatoes,
I know some people got confused.
This is a good place to start. I didn't know you were going there, so I just kept talking.
What'd you say there, Weevil?
He said, if you want to just catch up, and I was like, or if you want tomatoes pureed.
Right. I don't know. That's actually funny. I don't know why.
I can't tell if you're really laughing or if you're just...
No, that was actually pretty funny. That hit me very funny. I thought that was going to be some serious thought, and you actually threw me a curveball there. So, or I could just be because of my lack of sleep. Anyhow, so
I like how you immediately followed me on Twitter. I like how you actually found me. It's quite impressive. Oh, actually, I guess you did talk to me on AIM, so it's like the same name.
I just realized that whole thing we were having hysterical laughter over. No one who just listens to the podcast is going to get because we never read that guy's name straight.
What
so
guy?
That was the name that I read as, you know. No one's going to get that when they listen to this because they're not going to have that in front of them. We're just going to sound like morons.
Calling at home. Please check out the Universe Hardhead in the box and you'll understand the name of my.
And it is my personal guarantee that as long as I am on this podcast, if you spell your name in a silly way, I will read it phonetically.
I mean, like how Wesley L, how it should be Wesley LC, but you read it as Wasilica.
Exactly. Okay, no clever names will be tolerated.
And I'd just like to say this is Edris last week at the show. No, I'm just
kidding. And I will be changing my name to.
All right. We guys, oh my God. You're killing me. All right, cartoon news. Do we wrap up? So the continuum will catch those up to speed, like the people who.
And that's going to come out. That's going to come out in November. That's still a ways off.
But okay.
Our first word of that.
It's like those lost catch up shows. It sort of tells you what you've missed.
More or less. But they didn't do Generation One. IDW has basically, when the movie came out, they kind of stopped, right? Am I right?
No. No,
no, you're right. The All Hail Megatron is part of the continuity.
Yeah, they're
right?
still doing that. Yeah, exactly.
But I guess they want to go back to like the old stuff that they started out with. Is that what's...
No, they just want they want to start this ongoing series, and they want somebody to be able to pick up Transformers number one, which is what that issue is going to be called, and right, be able to pick up something else that will say, this will explain what we've been doing for the last 3 years that led up to this issue. So if you don't know what's like, going on, you can read this. I would presume they're constructing it in such a way that you can, if you haven't read anything that IDW did at all, or you dropped off somewhere in the middle, you can pick up the continuum and you can pick up Transformers number one and you will have pretty much a good idea of what's going on.
And that would be beneficial for people like me who are just starting to get back into the comics world. So
exactly. Cool.
All right. Moving on to cartoon news. G1 Matrix of Leadership hit store shelves.
You
October,
can do it.
October, October, October 20th in U.S. If you've been holding out, oh my God, this is so unprofessional. If you've been holding out,
this will be the last week of Anthony on the TFormers.com podcast. From now on, it would be Ender saying, is it crap or does it suck? And saying other people's names. And maybe Bweeboom will somehow join sometime in a fake flick.
You guys don't understand. You don't understand.
I come out like, no, it's crap. No, it sucks. No, it's crap. No, it's dark chocolate.
You guys understand when I was young, I had to give this presentation back in fourth grade. And I just was one of those things where I kept laughing and my teacher totally ridiculed me for not being prepared. But it was like the guy in front of me was egging me on and making me laugh. It was the guy who was in the front row that was. So I had to come back and redo it. And the second time I did it, it was much better. But
you could just been like, telling me about sorry, your teach, mother. I was high, I just had a little bit of helium. You know,
yeah, it's called caffeine in the morning. Actually, what was I?
Second grade?
Actually, I was just super hyper. I'm sure they would have put me on Ritalin, but
you were second grade.
In the second grade, come on.
Anyhow, back to if you've been holding off on just the ordering Shout Factory's Generation 1 Matrix of Leadership DVD box until you can actually hold it first, your wait might be over. According to TV shows on DVD, The set will be released into the mainstream and onto store shelves October 13th in Canada and in the U.S. a week later, October 20th. That's right, the same day as Revenge of the Fallen. How convenient. Unfortunately, the suggested retail price is $169.95, which is considerably higher than the $140 price tag offered directly from Shout Factory. So,
curse those imperialist Canadians for getting it first.
Exactly. Those darn Canadians.
It totally makes sense that they're going to launch it on the 20th, right? So when you've got one little screaming child on one arm and you've got the DVD in the other hand, you may as well scoop that box up in the other arm and just throw them all onto the conveyor belt.
Who's going to? I'm not going to
like quintuple your price.
Yeah, but yeah. Who's going to buy? I'm sorry, as much as I love the show, I would not spend $170 for the DVD set.
If you spend $140?
I would spend $120, maybe.
I did spend $140.
You got the set?
I got it. It's sitting right behind me here.
How is it?
Wow. Right in it. It's great.
What's it include?
It has a couple of magnets. It has a nice little booklet. It's a nifty Matrix box set. Actually, the packaging of the actual discs. They do that sort of like fold over each other thing. Well, I hate that. Yeah, so
it
actually
looks terrible.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. For someone who bought all the Rhino DVDs, what extra features does this have that the Rhino's DVDs does not?
It's what it's missing. It's missing the fake surround sound effects. Now, I don't know. Like some people, they just might not care. Those drove me nuts.
I didn't mind them that much, but
every one of them, they really bothered me.
But was that always...
There are a few animation errors supposedly corrected. They did. If you have that whole set from before, which I actually do, there's certainly an argument for not picking those up. I mean, there's not like tremendous difference you're going to get. But there are new sets of interviews, I think. There are some bonuses.
I haven't even gone through
them all yet.
They interviewed the G1 voice cast. I know that.
Yeah, there's some more interviews and stuff on there.
Okay.
There's stuff on the Rhino ones too. I mean, it's kind of a, it is the superior copy, I'd say, between the two. Whether it's worth buying it all again, I don't know, but it is better.
Yeah, I have the season one, and compared to the Rhino, I mean, I mean, obviously, I didn't grow up watching the show, the G1, so it didn't really bother me as much. So I didn't really see much of a, unless you really want those special features, which I'm sure you can. I don't want to, advocate it, but you can probably go on YouTube or something and find them. Other than that, it's not worth it. Truthfully, it's really not. If you have
I did grow up watching the show, those things really bug me. The differences are like night and day to me. But that's a difference of perspective.
Yeah, some people didn't care. Some people did. Some people got really bothered by the fact that Rhino tried to fix the animation errors. But they did so poorly.
What did they try to fix?
There were some things like Wheeljack was talking.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I remember there was one time where Wheeljack was talking, but his lights were his blinking lights were offset or something. So they tried to cut it so it would fit into back into the lights. And one time Prime was driving and he was visible through like a concrete barrier, but they made it so he was behind the concrete barrier. And,
I thought those were just showing the animation errors. I don't remember them trying to actually fix them or did
they tried to fix it. They tried fixing them.
Oh, and interesting.
I'm pretty sure that they did try to fix them.
Huh.
I think there was actually a special feature in one of the Rhino DVDs that said they tried to fix them.
Well, I could swear that.
No, I thought Rhino actually kind of denied having messed with it because people were upset.
Yeah, the only thing that I really noticed was in between where they did the Transformers, we'll be right back after these messages, that's where they added extra sound effects, which was just, an extra explosion or some
They do that in show, too, and they did it in the intros, which means every episode had a few, like five or six reliably.
I didn't notice that then. I just noticed the only ones I noticed was the in-between commercial ones and stuff like that. But then again, maybe I need to take a better look at it. But that really didn't bother me as much. I mean, I just want to know, I wanted more interviews and more commentary on episodes from people. So, I mean, does this have commentary during the episode from people?
No. Oh, okay. I don't think there's any commentaries. Well, you know, honestly, those people don't remember enough of any of this.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, that job I was doing in 1983 for 5 minutes.
The one that I would like to forget because they're grown men grabbing onto my legs in the street. Leave me alone.
I'm a Doctor Who fan. There's literally, they'll pull out these episodes for like, this person will be the star of these shows. And it'll be like from like 1974, and the actor will literally have to stop and be like, I'm sorry, I don't remember filming this at all.
Yeah.
Actually, George Takei had a really good interview on this show I listened to in the mornings.
Howard Stern? He said that,
no, I listened to, it's a local Philadelphia show.
Okay. Because they asked him on Howard Stern, and he didn't remember his work for Transformers Animated, which was kind of sad.
Yeah, but he also said that he doesn't know that much about Star Trek. And he said he'll actually literally have several people with him that are Star Trek like aficionados and experts, and he'll be like, I will direct to him.
Well, actually, yeah, the only ones that really were the Nimoy and Shatner are probably the only ones that really paid attention. Maybe
probably because it was their livelihood.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were the ones. Well, they also wrote some of the scripts too. I mean, Nimoy wrote most of the movies. So, I mean, he had a hand in the actual creation process. And I think maybe the guy who played Chekhov, because he wrote a couple books. But, you know, Shatner was just, he's prolific for just, you know, writing books. And though, you know, although writing a book is him speaking to a tape recorder and him someone transcribing his idea later. But, you know, that's, you know, they had a little bit more of a constant understanding of, you know, what's funny is, you ever watch Galaxy Quest? Galaxy Quest is pretty darn close to what it was actually like for this, for the Star Trek crew. So, it's actually a pretty good,
it's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and special effects in that movie probably better than most of the Star Trek movies, but, but needless to say, anyhow, I'm diverging, but needless to say, if you guys want to check that out, you can go order that if you have $170 to spare, which, quite honestly, if you have $170 to spare, how about donating some to a starving child in Ethiopia?
Or a starving podcast that needs jokes.
Wait. If you have $170 to spare, you know, save 30 of it and treat somebody good to something or donate or something, just order it off the child's website directly, because it's $140 in free shipping. Why would you
exactly
buy a Devastator and 2/3 of one?
Exactly. You could buy Devastator and the individual toys that can transform without the other like five or whatever. But
you could buy Devastator and experience the profound feeling of loss that everyone does when they open it up.
did you get the Devastator package?
No. I've seen a few of them, and I get the feeling that it transforms from a giant robot into buyer's remorse.
Do you think so? I mean,
you know, I've seen it in person a couple of times. I'm just like, wow, that's
I saw it too. Big.
Now, what's it's the big. Other? Now, the other one, the Legends one that actually has the ones that transform into robots. Now, what were you saying that does that come with like several different versions with additional characters, or how's that work?
Are you talking about the easy?
Yeah.
They're transformable legend size figures that combine into Devastator.
Now, how many are there?
7.
But are there additional versions of them? I think we read somewhere. Like there's different colors of them, or am I got that wrong?
Oh, you mean like there are symmetrical sides that are different recolors?
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression, though.
No. Okay.
No. Yeah, there's only one set of the Easy Collection Devastator, yeah.
So would you rather buy the Easy version, which actually has smaller versions but actually transform into robots and Devastator, or would you buy the big hulking one that doesn't transform into individual robots?
I think I'd actually prefer to have the small one where they transform into individual robots.
Me too.
Greater fits the aesthetic of a combiner. I mean, otherwise it's like Tidal Wave.
Yeah.
But
or Energon.
Right, yeah. The little ones, I mean, beg the question, why couldn't we get a big one that transformed?
Right.
Especially with that giant Horkin price tag. I mean, I think I'd have actually been more willing to pay $150 for one that transformed into both molds than I am going to buy one for 100 that doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. But they gave
I'd cough up $20 for 7 individual pieces that would make Devastator like it used to have to do back in the day.
Right.
I'd be willing to do that too. But for the $100 one that is like, okay, it's this mode and some construction vehicles, it's like, nah.
Yeah, would you rather pay 140? I would pay the extra $40 to get one that has individual robots to transform. But I think that was just aesthetic of them trying to hide things for the movie. And they said, well, we're just going to make these ones maybe not transform, and that way we can get out of, you know, having to actually make these.
Remember, I think it was like during BotCon, they explained why, right? They said that because there are like different. You know, because the Devastator itself is Devastator, and they never transformed in the movie. And then you got the, Stab or Demolisher and Long Haul and stuff as their own that can transform because they transformed in the movie. But they were separate characters.
Yeah, and I think that's a cop out.
No, it's just a total cop out. But
maybe that was unavoidable. I don't like want to blame anybody at Hasbro for it, but the actual output is not worth it.
Yeah,
is the high and low of it.
And believe me, I try to explain that to people who are not diehard fans. Like, wait a minute, if he's not, trust me, it's a different character. He's over here, he's Scavenger, and that's Devastator over there. They scan the same form. Oh, it's like trying to explain that to people. It makes my head hurt.
So. Well, I'm sure Hasbro will make a mint off at this season then.
Well, Hasbro's going to make
it. They're making a boat of money.
Yeah.
They don't care about it. They're not going to make any more that can mine or construct the cons that can transform on their own because they don't need to.
Well, you know
what? They can just repaint them into different colors.
Well, I think they're forgetting, though, that that was the initial marketing genius of the combiners. I mean, lest we forget, combining is a marketing concept. It's about, well, you bought this guy for $5. But if you buy these other four also for $5 and one of them for 10,
no, it was
then
all,
you have a whole other figure.
It was all
and you
about
make them
you,
buy all of them.
You and your friends, either parents or you and your siblings, would each get one, and you had to get along.
I was an only child. It was all about you got this one, okay. Now you need these.
Well,
it's appealing to that same completist thing that makes you buy bad repaints.
Right, but basically, let me put this, you got one, your friend at school got the other, you know, one, someone had the big guy, and...
I never combined figures with anybody else. Yeah, what's this combining my figures with other people's figures, man?
What is up with that, dude? What, you just made that up.
No, that's what we did.
Why would you be like,
that is deviant Transformers behavior.
Yeah, what is that? That is wrong.
That's an abomination.
Things.
No, that was one of somebody had, what was it? I had like everybody but one, and then he had the main guy. I can't remember.
Yeah, then you were supposed to go out and buy that last guy.
No, but then you got together and you played together, and the whole purpose was you.
Yeah,
played.
But his combiner's not touching.
Not in Hasbro marketing, it wasn't, pal.
Well, obviously that's not what Hasbro. Maybe that's not what Hasbro did.
Hasbro does not condone those things.
But that's what I'm saying is that like Hasbro's like. These stupid people want these different, you know, versions of the combining thing. What, you know, why would we do that? It's like, yeah, because it was your idea, jackasses. Like, that's where this came from. It was a marketing idea. That guy who sat in your chair before you sat in it, that was what he came up with to sell Transformers.
Well, you know, I was talking with somebody about, you know, how it would be interesting to work at Hasbro, and he was telling me, no, it's very corporate there. A lot of turnover. Go check out the book Toy Wars or something like that. And supposedly,
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Supposedly Hasbro is not as much fun as it sounds like it should be. So, but
toys are serious business, man, and they're going through rough times.
How can that be? There's always kids being pumped out left and right. I mean,
it's not the way video games have really cut into it a lot, and even just the internet, kids will sit and. Play on the internet all day.
Well, you know, that's probably the problem is that a lot of stuff's free now. And people.
My 3-year-old daughter plays games on the internet.
What does she play?
There's this thing called Starfall.
Starfall.
I think it's meant to be a resource for, like, homeschooling kids. She can totally sit there and she figured it right out all on her own. And there's little alphabet games and stuff like that, and she asked for it, and she'll sit there and play it.
Now, how old
it's a
is
video
she?
Game. It's she's three.
Wow. Starfall. I'll have to check that out when I'm really
well, there's
bored.
All sorts of stuff like that. Yeah. I'd be pretty bored for it, let me tell you.
Well, no, I mean, but that's, you know, I don't know. I would tend to imagine that I have the hardest time. I have a niece now who's just turning one, and I just can't wait for her to turn one so I can actually buy her toys, because trying to find toys that are under one is impossible. It's either three and up or one. It's
well,
like,
that's the, you know, you got to use some judgment in that, though, too, because the three and up is what comes from the legal department.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily. It's like this is three and up in terms of there is no possible way someone could sue us for right. giving this to a three-year-old.
Well, but you also have to watch your kid, too, but that's a whole nother.
You got to know your kid. I mean, yeah. you know, if your kid puts a lot of stuff in their mouth, then you'll have to adapt what you buy for, yeah. you know, longer than three. But if they don't, I mean, I've seen kids that just never do that. And right. That's the problem.
Well, I'm just waiting for her to get older so I can finally buy her some My Little Ponies. So
just well, don't buy her Legos.
You know, the thing is, yeah. These kids are going to kick our butts in video games.
Oh, I know. The little
She was already playing against me in they made a remake of Turtles in Time on the 360.
Really?
Yeah,
it's like a full remake.
It's like full HD, man.
Yeah.
pumping out 720.
Well, it's 3D. It's like they redid the whole game.
Oh, yeah,
and she's kicking my butt at it.
So, you give her that Xbox. You know what? And you should have her sign on as you during the Revenge of the Fallen, the game DLC game night on Friday. And just have your daughter play.
You know what? I let her play for a little bit one night.
And then people will be like, Ender, how'd you
she
get so good?
She mostly just drove into the wall.
Oh, my God. This looks
she'll,
so
she'll get
awesome.
It. She's getting it fast.
Kids are crazy, man.
Did they make a 3D of the other Turtles game, the video game?
No, the original one, they did the only faithful release of that's ever been out.
Right.
Which is kind of nice. That was like one of my favorite games as a kid, so I was pretty happy about that. They do have that on there, but it's not a full like 3D remake.
But this one's like an actual 3D.
This
remake.
One is it's like a complete remake.
Wow!
I bought recently from the arcade, the original arcade Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, they just have the regular version of that on there.
That was kind of fun though.
I love that one. That was
I used to play it in the arcades all the time.
That where's that wild. Old Simpsons game? You remember that? The one that was like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was basically like...
That and X-Men.
And X-Men, I was just about to say.
Yeah.
It was basically like the same like game, and then they just overlaid different graphics on top of it.
I know.
But the X-Men...
The X-Men game was great. You could kick people while they were down. See, like, Cyclops giving, like, vicious little sidekicks to someone. Like,
well, the X-Men also came in two monitors, too, in some of the arcades.
Right. You know what? Yeah. I almost bought one of those once. I was in high school. And our local arcade was selling it for $750.
Oh my God, dude.
And we couldn't figure out how to get it in the car. but we almost were like,
sucker, man.
Oh.
Just run the sucker around the town.
I would have. You know what? In my later years, I would have had the sense to just get a dolly and kind of walk it home. Oh, no, I did.
Stop. Now I gotta edit that. Item 11.
Beep it. Just beep it. Come on. We're having too much fun.
Actually, guys, I got to run here. So we got to wrap this up because I got to go watch Whale Wars from last week. So
Whale Wars.
Yeah, Whale Wars. It's an exciting show on Discovery Channel of how people are going like crazy fighting ship to ship over protecting whales from the Japanese.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They like start like attacking the people that like harass them.
Yeah,
right?
It's so messed up. It's like.
Well, you just go live your wild life on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I just can't keep up with you, man.
I'm old.
About
man.
Shark Week?
Oh, I'm not, I don't get into Shark Week because I'm very much a promoter of shark conservation. I think all that's. A lot of that doesn't help the cause because if you
that has no go ahead.
Well, if you want to check out a website I used to do, I don't do anymore. But adoptashark.org is a very good conservation where they try and donate to help track sharks and basically try and protect them and stuff because they're not as cute as dolphins or whales, but they need to be protected as well. So
That's so cute, Anthony.
I know. and with that being said, this ends another episode of TFormers.com podcast. Go check us out at TFormers.com and go check us out at our forums and leave your feedback as well. And that being said, this is Our High 1975.
The Endless Ender.
And Bweebum.
Have a good one, folks.
You eyeball my piece, 50 Cent?
TFormers.com podcast is copyright 2009 TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us an email at podcast@TFormers.com. This has been an E&I production. All right, reserved.